Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I am your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, auto racing. Believe it or not, Dale Earnhardt Jr. retired, announced his retirement at the end of this NASCAR season earlier this week. Tommy Prater has known Dale Jr. for a long time. So I got Tommy on the show, talk about his career, his legacy, and where NASCAR goes from here, losing the biggest star in the sport. We'll get to that in a minute. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. You can enter now to win a trip to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It's the center of fun in the Smokies. You can do that at crystal.com or go into the Oxford Crystal and enter. Right now, you can mix 5 for $5, as always, but now you can add the Country Fried Steak Crystal or the Country Fried Chicken Crystal as well in your 5 for $5. As always, breakfast at Crystal, few places better. Crystal's bigger breakfast combo with the fresh cracked eggs and French toast, that's there. And then now it's starting to get, finally getting warm, getting cold. You can get the frozen and fabulous Kool-Aid slushies, the caramel mocha frost, all of that at Crystal. Happy hour, 59-cent crystals, 59-cent ices. They're at Oxford Crystal, Highway 6 West in Oxford. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. It is 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. Call that number. Tell Corey Clark what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. And then here's the deal. You can take that quote and shop it for a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. It's up to you. Or you can let the people at Clark Ford, Corey and all the people there, do for you what they have done for listeners of the Beer Garden from multiple states, Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, all over Mississippi, of course. And that is take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. So easy at Clark Ford. And then when you at the end of your car buying experience with Corey, right about the time that you're finishing your deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the Beer Garden. $500 off, bang, off the bottom line. Just like that at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. The podcast also brought to you by Snooze Mattress Company. Snooze located at 2202 Jackson Avenue West in Oxford. It's the place to go for all of your bedding needs, all the brand names you know and love, Jameson, Tempur-Pedic. They're all there. Also, accessories, linens, pillows, mattress protectors, bed frames, everything you could possibly want. Great delivery, great setup. They'll do all of that for you, make it nice and easy. Great quality, great service there at Snooze Mattress Company. You can learn more at gosnooze.com. We're also brought to you by LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford. Give Greg Jones a call, 662-259-2999. Tell him what you want. He'll have it all hooked up for you. Or you can go in like I love to do and just browse and probably end up getting everything you could want. And then a little extra. You can get the fresh cuts, the choice grade Hereford beef, grass-fed free-range beef from Joyce Farms. They have the Joyce Farms chicken. They have the home place pastures pork from Como, Mississippi. All of that there. Try the bone-in ribeye. It's fantastic. Check out the sausages. I tell you about it all the time. You got to try the chicken jalapeno, the buffalo chicken, spicy Italian. They have smoked sausage as well, smoked chicken jalapeno. All of those are fantastic. And then when you go in, when you check out, grab a six-pack out of the beer fridge on the left. You can mix and match. You can get six of what you want and tell Greg you heard about it on the Beer Garden. You get a six-pack of craft beer for $6. Can't beat that anywhere. That's at LB's Meat Market in Oxford. We're also brought to you by our newest sponsor, Community Mortgage. Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All the underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float-down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. It's Jason Lowe is the branch manager at Community Mortgage in Oxford. Give him a call, 601-850-6159, 662-234-2704. Send him an email, jlowe, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Now let's go to Tommy Prater and talk Dale Jr., NASCAR, and where the sport goes from here. All right, Tommy, welcome into the show. We're going to get to less important stuff in a minute, like Dale Jr. and how this impacts the future of NASCAR and where NASCAR goes from here and his legacy and all of that. But first, let's deal with important things in life. You've been on an animal cracker kick, and you're getting quite philosophical about it. Fill me in.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you guys called in the middle of one of my animal cracker routines, and all this started in Daytona. Somebody brought this 5-pound bucket out. And, you know, when you go to Sam's and you buy a 5-pound bucket of animal crackers.
That's a lot of animal
crackers. I don't know how many animal crackers are in there, but it's a lot. Okay.
Well, how many would you guess? What would your guess be?
I don't know. I'm eating 2-3 handfuls a day, and it took me till now to empty out my first 5-pound bucket, okay? So, and then Moose, my dog, you know, he eats as many as I do in a day. So, you know, 1,000. It's a lot, okay? Because I've been eating a lot of them, and it just takes a lot to get a 5-pound bucket of animal crackers eat.
A 4-pound bag of or bucket of animal crackers, they are guessing that that is a little more than 1,200 crackers.
There you go. I can see that.
So a 5-pound bag, you're going to see my college education go to work. That's about 1,500. That's about 1,500 animal crackers. You will likely, I don't know, maybe you'll be proud of this, maybe it will scare you, I don't know. Each animal cracker has approximately 8 calories.
Yeah, so that was the problem. Somebody told me I could eat 20 and it was only 150 calories.
Yeah, that's about right. 20 would be 160 calories, but yeah, who's counting?
Well, when you tell a fat guy he can eat 20 of anything, and he only burned up 150 calories, man, that's good. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
because
you know what those little 100 calorie baggy things are, you know, the crap you get at the store. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So you get to eat 20 animal crackers, and plus, you know, if you eat an animal cracker properly, you don't just eat the cracker. You know, it's like eating Oreo. You know, you eat Oreo, you just eat the Oreo. Oh, excuse me, Oreo is not a good example because there's a method to Oreo eating too.
There is.
But if you eat a chocolate chip cookie, you just eat the cookie, right?
That's true.
Well, with an animal cracker, there's different ways to eat the animal cracker. You know, there are some people that eat the head first. There are some people that eat the legs first, and then there are some people that just eat the whole thing. And, you know, I've got to admit, you know, and I didn't really realize this about myself until I was about halfway through the 5-pound bucket, which I'm about 700 animal crackers in.
About 700 to 800 in, yeah.
Yeah, I eat the head first.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. And probably a couple, 3 hours or more of therapy, Mike could probably tell me why I'm a head first. Now, I know why I like the giraffe the most, because it's got the longest neck, so I'm getting more head for the giraffe than I would, let's say, like a buffalo. You understand what I'm saying? I
mean, always good to get more head. Always is.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then the giraffe has longer legs, too. So you eat the legs second. So, again, you get more leg off a giraffe, and then you finally get to the, you know, to the buy. But you know, that's my favorite one is the draft. You got a favorite animal, Cracker?
I'm almost embarrassed to admit that I do. I like the hippopotamus. I'm not sure what that says about me.
Well, you know, I think it is pretty emblematic of you, you know, because hippo's got a big fat head, you know, and it's got a huge head, okay?
Yeah.
And so that part works, and it's got the little stubby legs,
yeah.
And so that works, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that gets you your 2-inch vertical jump that you had through high school playing basketball.
Yeah.
I played above the rim. That would explain a lot.
Yeah. I played above the rim if the rim was 6 feet tall. I played above the rim
with a ladder. Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever?
The only rim I ever played above was a toilet. Okay, so let's just get that.
Did you ever?
Let's get that straight.
Did you ever dip the animal crackers in peanut butter?
Oh my goodness! Don't even mention that.
Let me let you in on a little something here.
No, you know, I'm back to, I get to eat 20 of these things and there's only 150 calories. You just blew this up to 500 calories.
Oh, and I can even go further. If you want to really turn an animal cracker into a delicacy, dip it in Nutella. Actually, you could dip anything in Nutella, but an animal cracker is a perfect... what's the word I'm looking for? It's a perfect platform, if you will, for Nutella.
You know, you're like my wife, okay?
Yeah.
My wife says, you know, how come you don't ever lose any weight? I'm like, well, honey, every night I come home, you feed me hamburger, you feed me French fries, you feed me homemade cookies. What's a fat guy supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You know, she's like, you need to cut back. I'm like, no, I'm a fat guy. Now you've told me about peanut butter on these animal crackers. And on tonight's program, I won't even be able to talk because I'll be all gummed up with peanut butter.
Well, and if you really want to do it right, I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. Peanut butter and Nutella combined is fantastic.
Okay, so for anybody that sees me in the next month or so, all right, and I look even more like the Nutty Professor than I do already.
You'll know who to blame.
You'll know it's Neil's fault.
Yep. Take some peanut butter and put it in like one of those ramekins or a bowl or whatever, and then take some Nutella and do the same thing and stir it together and then dip. Fantastic. Unbelievable. Because every bite will taste similar. It'll be like a snowflake. No bite will be exactly the same because some bites will have more Nutella and less peanut butter. Some bites will have more peanut butter and less Nutella. Some bites will be almost all peanut butter. Some bites will be almost all Nutella. And some bites will be this magical, heavenly mix of those two. And you'll never know, really, because if you stir it properly, your eyes won't be able to discern which bite is going to be what. And so each bite will be an experience.
Well, look, I don't think there's any doubt that when you have head with Nutella,
yeah,
that's really awesome. You know what I mean?
No,
I mean, you've gone in a whole other
no question
program. Yeah, whole other.
Yeah.
And the idea of scooping peanut butter out of a jar, out of a peanut butter jar, the Jif jar, okay, that doesn't happen. Fat guys, we go into the jar. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, we look like Winnie the Pooh digging down in there all the way through the jar. We're not going to put any out in a cup. That's not happening.
That's true. Well,
yeah,
you can dip into the peanut butter and then dip into the Nutella jar, and by the end of the process, you will have achieved what I was talking about. It'll be a little messy, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what all of us Pooh Bears look like after we have a, you know, Nutella and animal crackers and peanut butter.
A guy who does not look like he eats a lot of Nutella or animal crackers is Dale Jr. Pretty fit fella, at least looking at him, announced yesterday that we're taping this on Wednesday. He announced on Tuesday that he's retiring at the end of this season. You've known Dale Jr. since he was, what, about 5 years old, probably?
Yeah. I guess the first time I really met Dale Jr. was late 90s, early 2000, and back when he had his two-tone colored hair, and, you know, he was one of the first athletes to walk around with headphones on and listen to music when you weren't supposed to be listening to music. And I thought, man, what a punk. And they were winning races in the Busch Series and having a better time than you could ever, should ever be allowed to have. And they really had it going on back then in the late 90s. And his group, man, they were the wild bunch. And they certainly had a lot of fun.
This probably didn't surprise you yesterday, I'm guessing. I mean, maybe the news itself might have surprised you, but you weren't surprised that he was close to walking away from the sport as a driver.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be one of these guys that say, oh, yeah, I knew this was coming, you know, blah, 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 and I've heard all these quote-unquote experts say that. And really and truly, Neil, I did not see yesterday coming.
Huh.
Well, I mean, everybody retires sooner or later, but you know, I felt like that after his long rehab last year with his head injury, that he was really setting himself up for, let me say, a twilight run of his career that I felt like was going to last at least a couple of 3 years. And he was going to attack it whole hog and really go after it the last couple of 3 years. And you know, I think as the season went on and as the reports have happened, he met with Mr. Hendrick on March 29th, somewhere along in there, end of March, which was only about four or five races in the season, to let him know what his game plan was. And so, you know, I really didn't. I was one of the – now, if he just said he was retiring after his head injury and all and said, you know, I'm not coming back, I expected. But once he rehabbed and once he did all the strength and conditioning stuff he's been doing to get himself in shape to race this year, I'm surprised that this year is his last year.
What's his legacy?
Wow, I think that's a great question. I really don't think it's as a race car driver. You know, I think as a race car driver, the history books, the statistics will say he is average. Okay. I think as a racer and his impact on the sport, I don't know that we can ever fully gauge what Dale Earnhardt Jr. helped us do in 2001 when, you know, we killed Superman down in Daytona and this young kid, 24, 25 years old, suddenly had the weight of Earnhardt Nation and all of NASCAR on top of him, you know, and the way he handled himself and the way he has continued to grow and handle himself and the way he promotes the sport and is an ambassador for the sport, I don't know that we'll ever fully be able to judge what Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been able to accomplish on that front.
This is a great question for you because you were there the day that we've told the story a number of times, and I'm not asking you to retell it. You were there the day that Dale Sr. died in Daytona. His son was 26 years old, 25, 26, somewhere in there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? Because I can't even begin to fathom it. Can you? But you were there, and I have a suspicion that you can't either. Can you imagine being Dale Jr.? You're in the same sport as the king of that sport. You have the same name as that guy. You're Dale Earnhardt Jr. You're not Jimmy Earnhardt or James Earnhardt or Bob Earnhardt. No, you're Dale. And within days of your father's passing, the sport almost kind of turns to you and go, hey, Can you get in a car and do the same thing that killed your dad and do it really, really well and save us? That is an inordinate amount of pressure, and I don't know how many people could, in that scenario, go, yeah, I guess I'll do my best. Most people, I would think, would rebel at that, would fold under that sort of pressure. And at times, I kind of thought maybe he was going to, but he didn't. You're around that sport. Can you even try to put it into perspective? What was asked of him, you know, then?
And Neil, that's part of what I was trying to say earlier about his legacy to the sport will not be as a race car driver. It will be as a racer.
Yeah.
What he did for the sport in 2001. I mean, because basically the whole world looked at this 25-year-old kid, whatever age, and said, hey, your dad's dead. Is it okay if we go race again? And not only did he go race, he did it really well, brought them to their knees at Daytona when they returned in the summertime. And just, you know, as you see young athletes, and I'm comparing to young athletes that are struggling with who they are outside of the sport and getting into trouble, you know, off the field, off the racetrack. And you look at this kid that's 25 years old, and he took the weight of the world and kept right on going.
Yeah, he did. I know, obviously, the rest of this season, he has he will be the focus. People will be cheering for him. It's funny, I'm not a NASCAR guy, as you know. You and I joke about the fact that it's just not a sport that I've ever really followed. But when I would turn it on, and he was in a race, it was much like Tiger Woods with golf. I'm not a golf guy either, but if Tiger was in it, I was interested. I was intrigued at the very least. I was that way with NASCAR and Dale Jr. At first, I wanted to dislike him, and I have no idea why. And I caught myself really liking him and kind of cheering for him. And when he was involved in a race, I watched. When this season ends and he walks away, obviously it's the biggest name in the sport, not the best driver or any of that, but it's the biggest general popular name. Where does the sport go from there to replace a guy like him?
Well, I mean, he's won most popular driver 14 years. So, I mean, obviously he is the most popular driver in the sport. And number one, I don't think he's going very far. He still has an Xfinity team that he owns. And boy, I tell you, he has been in the broadcast booth a couple of times. The last time I remember seeing him was at one of the restrictor plate races. I think it was in Daytona. And literally, I called my son, racer too, and it just left Daytona. And I said, Thomas, you have got to turn on the TV right now and listen to Dale Earnhardt Jr. And he's like, what's going on? I said, he is giving a clinic on how to be a restrictor plate racer and a drafter from the booth, and it's the most mesmerizing television I've ever watched. So I think that he's going to be a very sought after for the booth, Neil. And I think where we are with our booth announcers today, you know, they're not just expected to call balls and strikes anymore. All of us expect our booth announcers, whether it's baseball or football or whatever it is, we expect them to give us the behind the scenes. You know, what's going on inside the race car? What's the driver doing to make his race car better? What's the crew chief going to do when they make the next stop? What's the pitcher going to throw this guy? It's 3-2 with bases loaded and two out. What kind of pitch is he going to see? And so when you put Dale Earnhardt Jr. in that position, which I've seen him do, he is absolutely phenomenal. So I don't expect him to get too far away from the sport, and I really expect him to be in the broadcast booth pretty soon.
What are his prospects for the rest of this year as a driver? What kind of success do you anticipate that he'll have?
Well, they put together pretty good speed everywhere. So far this season, the Hendrick cars have struggled. That being said, Jimmy Johnson goes from tearing up cars in practice to he's won the last two straight. So, you know, but that's Jimmy Johnson. And you talk about people who are going to replace Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think with Junior's exit from the sport, Gordon, Stewart, all gone, that your seven-time champion becomes the go-to guy. You know, you're going to quit calling on all these other people, and everybody's going to start calling on Jimmy Johnson to get answers and get ideas about where the sport should be going. So I think that's number one on the plate. You know, this season, not this weekend, but the next, we're back in the great state of Alabama at Talladega, where the man's won at times, has won four or five in a row. You know, this is such a huge announcement in Alabama, Neil. I said this earlier this morning, that all three flags in Alabama have been lowered to half-mast with Dale Earnhardt Jr. retiring. And they'll be out in force. You know, Junior Nation will be out in force when we come to Talladega next weekend after next. And let me tell you, he can win. He's one of the best restrictor plate guys I've ever seen. So, obviously, you have two more Talladegas and a Daytona race left. And he's been very good at Michigan in the past. So, he's got an opportunity to win. He's got an opportunity to be in the chase for the championship. And his team has built speed, which is very important.
When people say the sport's not healthy, do you disagree? Do you agree a little bit? What can it do to get back to the glory days that it had not so long ago?
Well, you know, number one, as I tell my racetrack owners all across the United States that we get a chance to meet with, when they ask me this question, I say, hey, look, if I knew the real answer, I'd be out on the circuit giving seminars and charging you $50,000 to come to my seminar as to how to fix racing. Couple things that stand out to me. Beginning of 2000, with the death of Earnhardt Sr., we had a tremendous explosion in popularity, TV, everything went through the roof. The racetracks and the series, instead of taking care of its customers, said, well, we're sold out at 100,000 seats, let's add another 100,000 seats. And they sold out the second 100,000 seats. The problem was when they sold out the second 100,000 seats, they didn't take care of their customers. It took hours to get to the racetrack. It took hours to get away from the racetrack. It was a nightmare to get a hotel room. And so while you were peaked and you went, when you got done, it was like, I'm not doing that again, you know? And so what the racetracks are doing, and Talladega is a good example, obviously we keep up with it very closely, is Talladega has completely revamped the speedway. They tore down all of the backstretch grandstands, which I think eliminated 50,000 seats. The front seats, which were nothing more than fold-out chairs stuck in concrete, are now seat-back chairs, 20 inches wide, cup holders, armrests on the sides. They have concourses where they have bars and just different things for the fans to get up and do. There is an incredible structure to get in the racetrack, get out of the racetrack. You know, I can watch the Cup race on Sunday afternoon, be in Victory Lane, and leave Talladega, Alabama, and be back in Mobile by 10 o'clock. In the old days, I couldn't even be back to Sylacauga by 10 o'clock. So they're working hard, and it's just Talladega isn't the only one, and we visit a lot of these racetracks, and Bruton Smith is doing the same thing. So they're working hard to get the fan experience back, and that's paying off. I mean, Daytona was sold out. I don't know if Talladega will be sold out this weekend, but I think the infield canteen's already sold out at Talladega. And so you'll see they're really working hard to get the fans back. The other thing that I see a lot is, you know, here at the race shop, we have guys come by all the time. I had an older gentleman in here last week. He was 72 years old. He says, man, I used to go twice a year, but I just can't go anymore because I'm 72 years old. I just can't walk like that. And so we've got to develop a new group of young fans. As I mentioned, Dale Earnhardt Jr. with the headsets on back 20 years ago, he brought in a whole new group of young people with him. They listened to the strange music that Junior did. They were young folks. It was just a young generation. And I think you're going to see that with guys like Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott and Bubba Wallace, who's originally from Mobile, who's in the Nationwide Series. He's one of the black NASCAR drivers now. And Bubba Wallace and Ryan Blaney are on Instagram and YouTube and all the things that as an old fat white guy I don't keep up with. But my kids can tell you all about what these guys are doing. And I think those are the guys that we're going to see bring in the next junior generation to get us going. And we got to get those folks back in there. Back to your original question, is the sport healthy? I think it's as good as it was in 2000, but obviously not near what it was in 5, 6, 7 as we went through that huge growth spurt. But I mean, you know, as a car owner, as a stakeholder, I see what the different series are doing, just like the NFL, the NBA, you know, and they're all working towards the same ideas now. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll be better, but I don't think it's as bad as everybody wants to make it out.
Yeah, it's probably about right. People say, well, it's dead. I mean, it's not dead. You look at the crowds. There's people there. It's not dead.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wish we had anything dead that drew 100,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, that's silly. The TV ratings aren't what they once were. But you know what? I'm not sure TV ratings for anything really are what they once were. You're right. You do as any sport, whether it's auto racing or Major League Baseball or whatever. You've got to find a way to market to and connect with young people, and everyone's trying to figure that out. And you're right. If you can figure that out, you can get rich.
Well, to me, it's very simple, Neil. And I had this argument with the ARCA series powers to be on a regular basis. They're all about television, and they will tell you how many people watch our races. We get a report of how many times our sponsors are seen on TV, how much TV value that has, all the way down to the second by each sticker on the race car, okay? And they're all about TV. And I just simply look at them and I said, well, where did you watch the race? And they said, well, you know, at home on the big screen. I said, well, guess what? Big screen is gone. The screen you need to worry about is the one that's about 2.5, yep, 3 inches that everybody carries around with them. When you tell me that we're connecting with that group,
yep,
that's when I know we're headed in the right direction. And the first three races of this year, NASCAR had over 1 billion impressions through social media. 1 billion impressions. Now, that doesn't really mean a lot to you and I as grumpy old white guys, but as a marketing guy who's working inside the series, that's a massive number. And we're hitting the right people with that. And that's my big argument with the guys that run the ARCA series. They're all about TV. And I'm like, TV's great, but I want that 2.5-inch screen. You tell me my kids are looking at that 2.5-inch screen, and that's when I know we're making an impact.
No, you're exactly right. By the way, you need to get on Instagram, and you could do an Instagram video of you could do Instagram Live, in fact, of you with your animal crackers dipping in the Nutella and the peanut butter. I would watch. I'm embarrassed to admit, but I would watch.
You would watch.
I would be disturbed, and I'd have nightmares, but I would watch.
Hey, you know what? I would watch too, but I mean, I spent 5 minutes watching the guy with a bottle rocket up his butt the other day. So I mean, the level of what I watch and not watch on the small screen is you know, not a very big call factor.
I have to follow up. I'm a journalist. You watched a video of a person putting a bottle rocket up his rear end?
Yeah, you haven't seen this?
No, I have not.
You just go find it. So the guy uses his rear end like the bottle part of the bottle rocket, right?
Right. I have a mental picture in place, yes.
Yep. They like the bottle rocket, and you can just imagine what happens from there. Actually, you don't have to imagine. You go on YouTube, they're all over. Apparently, there's not just one guy that's done that. There's a lot.
Oh, my God. All right, yeah, I'm Googling as we speak. There it is. There it is. There it is. Wow.
I told you you didn't have to look far.
No, you were right. As always, I've learned to trust Tommy Prater when it comes to veracity. All right, man. Well, enjoy your animal crackers, and as always, good luck to your son on his circuit, and to you. And thanks for the time. Really enjoyed it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on, and just keep in mind: did you eat the head first or the legs first?
Gotcha. Thanks, Tommy.
All right, guys.
Our thanks to Tommy Prater for his time on the show today. Hope you enjoyed that half hour with him. The Beer Garden has been brought to you by Strategic Partners and Media. It's a full-service advertising and public relations firm doing business throughout the country. SPM works with companies of all sizes, Fortune 500 companies to local startups. The logic is simple. They find a way to tell a story about a client that captivates an audience that will eventually do business with the client. SPM focuses first and foremost on developing a winning and unique strategy for their clients, whether that is through creating and implementing an aggressive digital and social media plan, producing a captivating television advertisement, or crafting a corporate communications plan to get any business through good or bad times. SPM always finds the right path forward. SPM mastered their craft in the rough and tough political advertising world. They bring to the table decades of advertising experience plus a unique perspective to advertising and a tireless work ethic rooted in their days of nonstop campaigns. To reach them, email Austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Again, Austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. We'll be back early next week with another Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. John Hamm of the franchise in Oklahoma City will join to talk NBA. Chris Landry of Chris Landry Football will join us. We'll recap the NFL draft that's ongoing. We'll also sometime next week preview the Kentucky Derby. It's time for the Triple Crown race yet again. We'll get the latest on the Derby and what you can expect there. So a lot coming your way on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden next week. Until then, thanks for your time today. Thanks again to Tommy Prater, and have a great weekend. Bye.